or tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Thursday afternoon service, July the 6th, 1989. Tape number 15 of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. The Moody's are teaching this afternoon.
Well, we're going to have some more teaching. We need to hide in us what we learn and then take it home or wherever we are and put it to practical use. So this afternoon, Earlene Moody's going to come and teach us and help us, Lord, to learn. Amen.
What I want to talk about today is keeping what you've got. Maintaining your deliverance. You know, you can come here 150 million times if you live that long, but if you don't keep what you've got, it's just sort of like a nuisance to you. It harasses you. So I want to tell you how to fight to keep it.
Amen.
Because I got delivered and nobody in my town thought it was a valid experience. And so before I get into it, though, I want us to pray. I know at this time of the afternoon, especially if you've eaten, you feel, well, Marie says it's your parasympathetic, something or the others go to work to digest your food, and so you want to take a nap. So we're going to pray about that. All right, Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we lift ourselves up to you individually and as a group. And we take authority over the ruler spirits over all of us, and especially those that would put us to sleep. And Lord, we thank you for giving us wisdom and knowledge. And you said with getting wisdom and knowledge to get understanding. And Lord, help us with our ears and our eyes and our hearts and our minds to get all of these things. We take authority over all the power of the enemy that is around us and in us. And we bind it in Jesus' name. Now, I guess what we should all do is ask ourselves, why do we want to be delivered? Why do you want to be delivered? And your answer will have a lot to do with whether you stay delivered or not, or get more deliverance. If you want to get delivered just so you can be comfortable with yourself, or because you've gotten in a mess and you know this will kind of help you get out, then you might as well go upstairs, get your bags, and head for home. Because you don't have the right motivation. Your motivation has got to be your surrender and your service and your obedience to the Lord. I wanted to get delivered. I didn't even know what it was. But what I wanted to do in my life right before my deliverance was to get to the place where I could serve the Lord. If he said do something, I wanted to be able to go do it. And many times I think that in my heart he told me I should go see someone, help someone, encourage someone, and I would never go. And I wouldn't go and couldn't understand why. And then one day I started just looking at myself, why don't you want to go? And the answer came very quickly, you're scared they're going to reject you. So if you're scared they're going to reject you, you won't go. Because we have tremendous fear of men. Gene and I have sat under pastors who had more fear of men than they had of God. And that kind of ekes out to the people. And you'll take it up. Right before I got delivered, I read a piece of scripture that I would like to share with you to help spur you on to keeping on with it. It's in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Sometimes after you get delivered, the road gets rough because the demons are ganging up on you, and sometimes the people are. So it gets real hard. Hebrews 12, 2 through 4. Looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief. It is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. This is the Amplified, and so it may be just slightly different. He is the joy of obtaining the prize. See, he's the beginning, the center, and the end of the whole thing. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. You know, none of us will probably ever have that type of persecution or that type of trial. Just think of him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself. Reckon up and consider it all in comparison with your trials, so that you may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your mind. And this is a verse that sort of convicted me or gave me the strength to go ahead and maintain my deliverance. You have not yet struggled and fought, agonizing against sin, nor have you yet resisted and withstood to the point of pouring out your blood. And sometimes when you truly want to serve the Lord, you get to the point where you have to bring that verse up and look at it again. All the things that Dee and I have gone through with have been nothing compared to pouring out your blood. So many times we would say to one another, well, we haven't resisted till blood yet, and we would go on. Now, all the scriptures are given for inspiration and for direction and for guidance to us. And right after I got delivered, I discovered the Old Testament. And in that Old Testament, I found a section of three. Now, I know there are Bible scholars here, and so we can ask them when I'm done if this is right or not. But there are three books in the Old Testament that I think, if you read those, we turn back there, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. Now, in these three books, I see myself trying to maintain my deliverance and walk with the Lord as the people who were trying to build the temple. And I see the people who oppose them as either demons trying to get back in or demons within people trying to abuse me in some way. Now, what's happened here, as King Cyrus has been inspired by the Lord. Now, you know, the Lord talked to him. He was a heathen king. And God talked to him and told him, said, you tell the Jews and you give them all the assistance they need and get them back to Jerusalem to build the temple. So he issued this order, and he told the Jews that wanted to go, they could go. And he supplied them with all their needs and the old equipment from the temple. And you know, not many people went. That's like today. Not many people go. The reason they didn't go was because the Jews had gotten rich over there. They had good lives. They didn't, many of them, want to go home. So they get home, and they start to build the temple. And they had laid the foundation. And to me, the foundation that they laid is similar to my foundation, which is salvation. Now, no one opposed them while they were preparing to lay the foundation. But the minute they laid the foundation and started to go on with the Lord, opposition grew. And it's almost like there's a pattern that follows. If you go toward the Lord and start to follow Him, and then you do follow Him, you obey, then you get opposition, and then you get growth. Anyway, these people, the Samaritans, were in that land, and they decided that they'd better do something about this. Well, you know, when the demons get out of you, they do that too. They decide they got to do something about it. And so they ganged up on these people and wrote letters back to the king, said, you know, you got to stop this. But they just kept on. It says, the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews, so the enemy could not make them stop until the matter became before Darius the Second. And this is another king has come up. Well, after he did his research, he told them, go ahead. And he said, you guys who've been opposing them, you help them. So they went back to work, and then they get the temple pretty well built, and they're going on with their life, and they're getting things together. And so some fellows raised up, Sanballat and his friend, pronounce that Tobiah, he raised up. Well, they started opposition, strong opposition. Well, we know when we get delivered, opposition doesn't stop, does it? It continues. All right, at this point, they make a strange discovery. Their greatest enemy is in the center room of the church. And they had to get Tobiah out of the temple. So Ezra throws him out. And you know, that's what we have to do with ourselves. We have to get this ruler spirit, or many of us, I had many ruling spirits. We have to get to the place where we can face this fellow and throw him out. And to me, that's like the casting out of the demons. And now you're over in Nehemiah. Now, you know, you need to cast out the demons, and then you need to do some other stuff. In Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, he begins to teach the people. He teaches them all of the information he has. And he expects them to obey. Now it says, they stood and listened to him, and then they repented. And they did all the things that he said. The people seemed to want to obey quickly. But there were some priests in the group who didn't. And you know, there's kind of a little warning there that we have to be careful. We don't just follow what people say. Now when Gene and I get up, we say, look, don't believe a word we say. Check it all out. Because you are responsible for checking it out. Well, anyway, these priests had married foreign women who were into idol worship. And they would not give them up. And so the priest, he picks them up by the hair of the head and jerks them around and tells them they have to. You know, he doesn't, and you know, that's the way we have to treat demons. Somewhat the same way. You have to get out of me. You cannot stay. I will not serve you. And they're still having this trouble trying to build the wall now. They've got the temple ready, but the wall is not built. And so they're opposed all the way. So I'm locking the foundation to my getting saved. The temple getting built to maybe learn about healing. And then the wall, like learning about deliverance. And you'll see these people didn't have an easy way of it. Gene and I meet so many people, they say, Erling, y'all just cast out all my demons and I want to go on my way. It doesn't work that way. And there's no point in that kind of deliverance. So anyway, we get on over here and they're getting the wall up and they're all settled in. And they still have this king over them who can issue orders concerning them. He gets tricked by an enemy of the Jews. What's his name? Haman. Haman. And so they have a Jew who stands his ground. He won't bow down and he won't serve them. So this guy tricks the king into issuing an order where all the Jews will be killed, destroyed. It's not over yet, is it? This fight is for these Jews is not over yet. So they keep on. They talk to the king. The king finds that this man Mordecai, which is Esther's uncle, had done a good deed for him. So they switch the orders and they say the Jews can defend themselves. And so they did. And many of their enemies were slaughtered. But to me, these three books helped me, and I've really got a lot of little notes in here to myself. They helped me to see that the battle was not going to stop because the demons go out. They want to get back in. And so, you know, in the Bible it tells us something. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 11. Instead of us being so in a fantasy world about our Christian life, this tells us how we should really just get down to earth with it. Get down to where it is every day. It says, humble yourselves. Not too many people want to do that. You know, God has a way of humbling you. When Gene and I first got delivered, we thought, man, we've got the answer. Let's go tell everybody and get it all over with quick. And so we went to a prayer meeting just to help another couple that was in trouble, and we didn't really think we had any reason to go. You know how you can get so perfect? So we walked in there, and this lady says to Gene, I have a prophecy for you. And this lady told him, he said, I've called many people to do this job, but he said, they turned me down. So and so now you know I'm going to use you, but it's not really what I wanted to do. It's what it all boiled down to. And so he keeps you humble. So you need to humble your own self. Lower yourself in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. Cast in the whole of your cares, all your anxieties and your worries and your concerns once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares for you watchfully. And from that verse, I decided, all right, God, I know you're not going to do everything for me, but I know that you will always, always be here, and you will always be helping me. Be well-balanced, temperate. Gene and I have been in some churches that were definitely not well-balanced, and they would get us so tipsy over on one end of the thing with the teachings that we would forget that our feet were clay and we had to stand on the earth. Be vigilant. Vigilant. You know, we say, well, you know, be careful. Well, that's not very strong. But this is a very strong word. Be vigilant. What does that say to you? You've got to be very alert, extremely cautious, always judging what you hear. Why do we have to be this way? Because that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Withstand him. Be firm in faith against his onset. Rooted, established, strong, immovable, determined. Those sound like strong things to me. Knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christians throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace imparts all blessings and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself, and this is what will happen. If you do the above, this will happen. Complete and make you what you ought to be. Establish and ground you securely. Strengthen and settle you. To him be the dominion, power, and authority and rule forever and ever. You know, we can't just say, well, when we talk about the devil, we give him glory. When I talk about the devil, I want to expose him. I want to tell you what nasty, dirty things he pulled on me and how he held me in bondage so long. The devil has some tricks, and I want to share with you some of them. He wants to lull you into carelessness. He wants to seduce you with desires, and he wants to destroy you with gradualism. He wants you to just throw all your caution to the wind and be careless with all of your life, to be wild, to be crazy, to follow the crowd, to look at the world's excitement, to desire it. And in Hebrews, the third chapter, the 13th verse, tells us about the glamour of sin. And my daughter, when she was in her early teens, she told me, Mom, I think I'm going to be careful about everything that looks glamorous. When the devil shows you smoking cigarettes or drinking to excess, he does not show you the end product, does he? He shows you the beginning product. And his message to you is that's what it is. He doesn't. Wouldn't it be amazing if you picked up the magazine and was thumbing through it? And here was this ad for smoking cigarettes. And here's a person coughing their lungs out with cancer. That's truth. Whenever they're showing you ads that are sexual in nature, they show you fine, strapping young people, don't they? Wouldn't it be amazing if they showed you one with people dying with AIDS or some other horrible disease, or showed you young, diseased children? So we're not taught, it's not shown to us like it is it? He shows us a fantasy. And if you go after fantasy, pretty soon you don't know where reality is. If you're one of these people that wants to look for shortcuts, you know, in Genesis 1 through 3, what was Eve looking for? She wanted a shortcut to be like God. She wasn't willing to go the long way around and just take her lifetime to learn. No, she wanted to know now. She wanted to be like him right now. You know, the devil's had many, many centuries to study us humans. When you come up against a demon, that's not his first existence. And when he's in you, you're not his first person probably either. He knows what we go for. He knows we like pretty things. In other words, he knows we like the things we can see, the things that we desire, and the things that we need. And that's what he tempted Eve with, and that's what he tempted Jesus with, and that's what he tempts all us with. He knows we want to be full of things, and also we can be lifted up. After you get your deliverance started, you're not done yet. Mine's still going on. And I hope it goes on until I die. I want to keep on until I'm clean, however long it takes. And I'm not upset and worried either that I might have one still in me. Because the way Gene and I look at it, if he shows himself, we'll go after him. And we won't stop till he's out. He uses another really good, successful, tremendous idea that he has. He uses gradualism on us. Do you know that Americans don't have a great deal of freedoms left? When I was a little girl, the school was under the control of the state of Tennessee. The federal government did not have anything to do with it. When I got in the fourth grade, the federal government began to send us prunes by the bushel. And they put them out in the hallway, and they said, and of course sometimes it was butter and sometimes it was dried apples, but They put them out in the hallway, and they said, if you need any of these or want any of these things, you may have them at recesses and at lunchtime. And it wasn't long until I began to hear something. Well, since we're taking the federal food, we have to do something. At first, the food was free. Then we had to pay for the food in some obedience. All right, that happens to us when we watch TV, when you watch sports, when you start looking at pornography. At first, it's offensive, and you just do it a little bit. And then the next thing you know, it's all you want to do. You want to watch TV all the time. You want to watch sport games and stuff. You're not even doing anything. You're just laying there lazy, but you want to look at them. So this gradual way he has of devouring us has to be, you have to be zealous about that. You have to be very careful about the way he uses gradualism on you. I read a verse in Romans 6:16. You know, there are some verses in the Bible that really do help you sort things out. And to me, this one helped me see I don't have any choices that have come out of my own head. All of my choices are following one or the other. In fact, one day when I was pondering over this, I thought that I heard a little voice that said, have you ever had an independent thought of your own? And at first I said, yes. And then I stopped to think, no. No, I never have. Do you not know, Romans 6:16, do you not know that if you continually surrender yourself to anyone to do his will, you are the slave of him who you obey? And that's not necessarily talking about another person, because in this life, we're dealing with the Spirit God, he is a spirit, and we're dealing with the devil, he is a spirit. Whether that be to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness, right standing and right doing before God. But thank God, though you were once slaves to sin, you have become obedient with all your heart to the standard of teaching in which you are instructed and to which you are committed. So I used to teach my little first graders, it's easy to tell who's talking to you. You know, God is on this side talking gently, and Satan is on this side talking loudly. So whatever you feel pushed to do, you can pretty well figure that's him. If it's a gentle leading, it probably will be God, because he doesn't force us. He's given us a free will, and he won't force. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have power and authority over all the power of the enemy. Without that, we would just about be done in. But we do have it. And a lot of Christians try to use it, and they want to use it wrongly. You know, people who are loaded down with evil spirits and whose life is spent in different, various and sundry sorts of sin, if they want to pray for you to be delivered, you probably won't be. And like he was saying this morning, you'll get more than you already had. So if you want to pray for people to be delivered, you don't have to be 100% absolutely perfectly delivered, but your heart has to be set on that. Your allegiance has to be to God. God wants our obedience, but he doesn't want it grudgingly. But sometimes after you get a demon cast out, you may have to force yourself to obey what God says should be done in that particular case. And I like to use my retaliation as an example. I used to retaliate on people at the very drop of a hat. All you had to do was cross me or do me wrong. Well, every time after I got delivered, this verse came in the Bible. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, thus saith the Lord. And it just seemed to be on every single page. Well, I figured after a few weeks of this, God's trying to tell me something. If you want to stay rid of that retaliation, you're going to have to put this verse into practice. And you're not going to do it because you want to necessarily. You're going to do it because you have to. If you want to be free of retaliation, you have to follow God's prescription, which is you forgive that person, you don't hold it against them, you really don't pay that much attention to it. Well, I've come far enough today that I'm not even likely to notice if you do something. So if you want to really do me something bad, you have to do kind of big. Because, you see, I finally got the message. Forgive that person, treat them kind, And don't remember it. Don't hold it against them. All right, we always hear this. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Do you know that you can say, I'm submitted to God all day long, and it doesn't amount to a hill of beans? There are some things you have to do to be submitted. And I want to share with you the ones that had to happen in my life, and they might be necessary in yours. When we submit ourselves to God, we have to accept His way of salvation. We can't come to God any other way except through Jesus Christ. We can't use Cain's religion to get there. We have to begin a sincere study of His Word. And if it's obvious to us we're missing it somewhere, we have to change. The principles that God has set up have to become ours. You know that a man that has principle can be trusted. But a man with no principles, he can't be trusted. You don't know where he's going to go or what he's going to do. So we need to take God's principles, and they become our principles. I used to think it was all right to tell someone a little white lie, like someone would say, well, you know, do you like my dress? I just made it. And I'd say, oh, yeah, it's nice. Well, they were just beginning to sew. I didn't want to discourage them, so what I said was, oh, it's beautiful, it's nice. I lied. I used to be a great big liar. My mother taught me. So you have to be careful about the things you do. And I didn't know I was lying a lot of the time. I wasn't conscious of it. We have to decide that with all of our heart and mind that His will for our life is what's important. That's our will too. We have to desire the things of God more than we want to eat. In my Bible, it says many times, more than your necessary food. If we don't want Him more than food, we're not going to go very far with Him. Because the Bible talks about selling yourself for a piece of bread. After I did these things, I felt like I had the ability to stand up there and say, look, I'm submitting to the best of my ability to God. You have to move. And the most wonderful thing happened. You moved. All right, another thing I want to talk about is temptation. People always use temptation as an excuse with Jean and me when they just continue in these things they shouldn't be doing. Well, you know, it doesn't matter whether they use it with Jean and me. Who does it matter they're using it for, really? They're making an excuse to God. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. This is a good chapter to study over and over and over at this point in your life. 1 Corinthians 10:13. For no temptation, no trial regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to men. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance. Boy, if that doesn't knock the wind out of you, nothing will. There's nothing that's ever tempted you that you're not capable of resisting. I'm going to read that again. No temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance, and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience, and such as men can bear. But God, I love those two little words, but God is faithful to His word and to His compassionate nature, and He can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried and assayed beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. Now this is the one that you have to watch, but with the temptation, He will always provide the way out, the means of escape to a landing place, that you may be capable and strong and powerful and patiently to bear up under it. And I'd read that verse and it would come to me, you forgot to take the exit route. You know, many times we get into temptation and we recognize before we go ahead and do it that we shouldn't do this sin. And there is a way out, but we don't take it. See, Christians oftentimes allow themselves to be seduced. They're lazy. And so they just go right on after. They just trickle right on behind that little devil. Do whatever he says. Well, you can't do that. You know, we worked with one young man. He had a terrible time with pornography. There are a lot of stores that sell bread and milk, but he always went to the 7-Eleven. And Jean explained to him, that's stupid. If you have a problem with something, you don't go down there where it is. You go somewhere else. Temptation is common. Temptation is one of Satan's biggest little... He likes to get up on your shoulder. Well, he doesn't, but the demons, he sends them, and they get up there, and they talk to you, and they influence you, and they like to get a hold of your eyeballs, you know, and turn them to the wrong thing, or your ears. But what does the Bible say? You don't have any excuse. Now, it's awfully hard. We have to work hard on ourselves to break some of these habits. But I can tell you from my own experience that it's worth much more to stick to it and grow than it is to give up and be destroyed. I had an awful time with this particular thing. Since I was a retaliator, I often had bitter thoughts about people. You know, I'd be sitting there and suddenly one of those little things would say, "You remember what she did?" And instead of just not answering that thing, I said, "Yeah, I remember that." We call that petting demons, talking to demons. "I remember that." And then my thoughts would get in high gear about how I'd get even. See, I encouraged that. I encouraged it by doing it. If you have some shameful thought, or like me, some bitter thought, you don't have to encourage it. Because demons, they come and they give them to you, but you just can say no. No. No is a powerful word. The devil watches us to see what we like. Really, like I say, it's the demons that do. I mean, he's not particularly concerned about us as individuals, in that I doubt if he's ever, I don't think he's ever come to me in his person, in his, that he sends his demons. They watch us. They know us. I had some in me that were in my dad and my granddaddy. They just came right down that family line, and they looked at me, and they saw those little cracks, and they pop right in. All right, now, like he was telling you this morning, your mind is the battleground. I used to read this scripture. It says in Galatians, about submitting your thoughts to the Lord Jesus Christ, bring every thought into subjection. I think that's where it is. No, it's in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. And so it would say, 2 Corinthians 10:5. It would tell me to bring my thoughts into subjection, every thought and every purpose, to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. And you know, we get so spiritual. I'd get down in front of my sofa, I'd bow down, and I would say, "God, I want you to take my thoughts." I'd heard other people pray that. I thought that was the right prayer to take. "No, Lord, take my thoughts. Do something about these things that are driving me nuts." And I did this for probably a week or so, and I didn't get any answer. It was just like I was praying to nothing. And then one day, I was praying like that, and I was very sincere. And this came to me: "I wouldn't touch your thoughts with a 10-foot pole." And quoted me the whole section. I think it's in Isaiah. One of you fellows can tell me. "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways." And continued on and on and on. I had never read that scripture at that time. And someone told me that's in the Bible, so I went and looked it up. Okay, your mind is the best entry gate. Through suggestions, through sight, through hearing, through your emotions, you'll get a lot of attacks. Your mind is more accessible, I think, sometimes than your body. I may not be right, but it seems to me like he worked more on my mind than he did my body. In the book of Deuteronomy, I became aware that the Lord was saying, "Set your heart on things." A whole lot of different things I was supposed to set my heart on. I'd never done that. Then someone gave me this Amplified Bible, or they gave me one, I think, and I wore it out, and then I got this one, and it's worn out, and I'm trying to break in a new one. But in that book, it says mind and heart. I said, "Lord, it was much easier when it was just heart. I didn't know mind was connected with heart." So it says, "Love the Lord with all your mind and heart." Well, I could see I had a lot of work to do. You have to set your mind. In fact, in the Amplified, it says, "Fix your mind on these things, things that are lovely, honest, truthful, and so on like that." Let the scriptures mold you. You know, a lot of people, when they're children, they make up their mind about certain things. It's all right if it's a good decision. But if it's a bad decision, it's kind of stupid to stay in that till you die, isn't it? So you can change. Habits have to be changed after deliverance. You cannot drink the Lord's cup and the demon's cup. You cannot partake at the God's table and then go partake at the demon's table. And the Lord convicted me of that one year on Valentine's Day. I was on my way to school. I had planned on making cupcakes for my children for Valentine's Day. And something spoke to me as I went around the city, and it said, "You need to look up Valentine's Day." Well, I did. And I discovered to my horror that I was fixing to serve my children cupcakes, and it would be service to a demon. And, you know, we get ourselves so fooled, you know, Valentine's Day, such a lovely day. Yeah, it's lovely, okay. You need to look at what it all stands for. You can't partake of God's table and the demon's table. I've got 1 Peter 3:11. Let the scripture mold you, refine you, and correct you, and discipline you. At about this time in my life, I ran across another section of scripture that I'd read all my life, 1 Corinthians 13:1-13. And it does every Christian well to study this. I like to start with it's good to start at the first verse, but let's start at the fourth verse. Love endures long and is patient and kind. That was not my qualities. Love is never envious. I'm reading this and I'm saying, oh Lord, I'm always envious. Boils over with jealousy. Is not boastful or vainglorious. Does not display itself haughtily. Is not conceited. Arrogant. Inflated with pride. Is not rude. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own ways. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy. It is not fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. Now, Jean can tell you that for 2 years, I took account of every little thing he did. And when I read that, I just felt like crying. I thought, oh, Lord, I am so far away. It takes no account of the evil done to it. Oh, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Can you see that where I had one of my greatest faults? Every verse in here, really, but this one. Ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. And it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. It never does fade out or become obsolete or come to an end. Then he goes on to talk about the things that will fade away. Between the first verse and the eighth verse, I spent years and still spend time going through that. I'm a lot different than I used to be. But I look at myself and I see lots of improvement in this section that really needs to be done. You have to compare yourself to Scripture, your state of mind and behavior. If you don't do that, you're just going around blind. 2 Timothy 2:15. It tells you to study and apply the Word of God to your thoughts and actions. If you don't, when you're brought up before the Lord, you're not going to have a good answer. 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Discipline your mind and your life because you are responsible for what you do. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Remember, no action will take place. No sin will take place in your life until after your mind has decided to do it. We don't accidentally sin. When you fall flat on your face, the Bible says that Christians are oftentimes knocked down, but they're not knocked out. So when you fall flat on your face, what do? You get up, you repent, you commit yourself again to the Lord, and you go right on. Philippians 1:28. People are scared of demons. People say, I'm scared to go to that deliverance meeting. I'm scared I'll get full of demons. Well, the problem is they already are. There is transference of spirits under certain circumstances. But like a demon told you, we were telling this demon one night way back at the beginning, well, just come out and go in somebody else. You can't stay here. And he says, and they love to call me a stupid fool. So he proceeded to say that, and he said, don't you know that it's not that easy to get in? Why do you think we don't want to come out? It's not that easy to get in. So there's one thing you need to remember. You don't have to fear them. Philippians 1:28. Do not, and this is a commandment, do not for a moment be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents and adversaries. Who are your opponents and adversaries? Since we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, who is it? Our spiritual adversaries, yes. For such consistency and fearlessness will be a clear sign and proof and seal to them of their impending destruction. When you get scared of them, they get more powerful. A sure token and evidence of your deliverance and salvation and that from God. So don't get scared of them. All right, this is a warning. Galatians 5:7-8. Do not be deceived and deluded or misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at or scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions of his precepts. In other words, if you come in here and say you want delivered, you better be real sure you mean it. And when you sing these songs, you better be sure you mean them. Sometimes I don't sing these songs, especially a long time ago, because God convicted me that every word I said would I have to give an account for it. And if I get up here and say, I bow before you, or I worship you, or I love you above all else, and you don't mean it, you're mocking him. Sorry. But God will not allow himself to be sneered at, or disdained, or scorned, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions of his precepts. You've got to mean it. You may not be perfect in doing it, but you've got to mean that you want to do it. He invariably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. If you're trying to fool God, guess who gets fooled? You do. Right. I used to pray these beautiful prayers to the Lord and feel like he was laughing at me. I don't do that anymore. I just talk to him and listen to see what he's got to say. For what's, and this is something that you have got to remember. Most of you are in here, not by innocence, but by what you did, what you sowed. Listen at this. For whatsoever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap. Think about it. He who sows to his own flesh, lower nature and sensuality will from the flesh reap decay and ruin and destruction. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life eternal. So what we, most of us, have done, if we're sincere, we've come here to turn ourselves around. We've been going after the destruction. Now we want to turn and go after life eternal. When the going gets rough, what are you going to do? You gotta keep going, no matter how hard it is. Let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season, we shall reap. You know, sometimes we think if we correct our path immediately, everything is going to be fine. Not necessarily. And Jean and I had a graphic example of this. We had this young girl who had gotten pregnant and then she had gotten saved. And, you know, I had been taught that when you got saved, the results, the repercussions of your sin were over. And I'm looking at this little girl, and she's sitting there, very sincere, and I'm thinking, she is pregnant, and God does not kill babies. She will always have this child. So you may have the results of your sin for a long time. But that does not mean that you have not been forgiven and delivered and walking in faith.
Early.
Mm-hmm.
Some scars of sin we will carry through.
Right. Eternity. Right.
They will never be erased. Just as the scars of Jesus will be there through eternity, so will some of our scars of sin.
Right. Some things you set in motion You may not be able to change the result, but you can change the guilt. You can change the fact that you sin through repentance.
Amen.
David was forgiven. Didn't Nathan tell David that God forgave him? But what happened to David? Because of what David did, he had a sword put in his house. And his children couldn't get along anymore. And one of them even tried to kill him. That was the result, although he was forgiven. So the things that we do, we don't get off scot-free. That's not what Jesus is. In due time, and at the right and appointed season, we shall reap, if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. Even with our scars, even with the results of our sins, we don't want to lose courage. Because here's what I've seen in my life. The things that we have done wrong, many times God can take them and turn them. And they're profitable to us in the end. Now, one of the things that hurt us most was the death of our son. And it didn't seem to me that God could do anything with that. But he's done wonderfully well with it. So that as occasion and opportunity open to us, let us do good morally to all people, not only being useful and profitable to them, but also doing what is for their spiritual good and advantage. Be mindful to be a blessing, especially to those of the household of faith, those who belong to God's family with you. Now, I want to just kind of list out, this lesson has been hastily put together because I felt that the one I had worked on before was not pleasing to God. All right, if you want to stay free, here are some things you will have to do. I'm not going to tell you that if you want to stay free, well, you know, you can flop around and maybe you can maintain your... No. Forget it. Go home. These are things you will have to do, and I'm sure there's a scripture for each one of them. I didn't have time to put them all down. You will have to commit yourself totally to Jesus Christ and His plan for you. You will have to study His Word and accept its principle as yours, and you will have to live by it. You will learn more of His principles day by day. You know, like here a little and there a little. But you'll gain every day if you do that. 3, I will discipline my mind and my life in the areas where I have been delivered of demons. It's an absolute must. I will enter His presence with thanksgiving and gratitude and praise. I will joyfully obey His directions, even if I didn't want to do them right then. I will get rid of all things in my house that lead back to bondage. I will not return to my old friends or to my old sins. I will keep a forgiving and a loving spirit. I will forsake sin. I will keep fellowship with other Christians. I'll fight the good fight of faith against fleshly appetites and sin daily. You know, we have to take up our cross daily. I will continuously pray and praise the Lord. You know, I started in the Bible, at the Old Testament, it was talking about praying 3 times a day. Then it was talking about praying more and more. And then it was talking about praying continuously. And I said, Lord, I can't do it. But you know, I did discover something. Washing dishes does not take any mental power. So I can pray. I can pray in tongues. I can pray about whatever person crosses my mind. Ironing? Well, I mean, you know, I've done it for years. I can pray then. I can pray while I'm driving the car. I can listen to the Bible while I'm driving the car. Gene and I, we have a radio in both cars, and we have tape players, and the only thing we do is play King James Version of the Bible. It's astonishing what you can learn. Sometimes Gene and I go to them, and we say, what? And you know, we've gone through this book over and over and over and over and over. But you always gain a little something you didn't have. You cannot pet demons, and you cannot play with sin anymore. You cannot be all that God wants you to be if you never apply His Word to your life. If we pretend there's no devil and no demons, we've made a mockery of Jesus dying. Because if He had no enemy, that was a stupid thing to do. And if He had an enemy big enough to require that, to cancel out that enemy's war, then we got a big enemy. Don't degrade the devil in making fun of him or pretending he's not there. He's here. If you act like he isn't here, He'll really eat you up. Now, I want to tell you a few little practical things that happened to me. About a week after I got delivered, I was a real big person for going to the ladies' meetings. I wanted to have something real smart to say. You know who I was serving, don't you? Rejection and its accompanying demons. And after I got delivered, immediately, I no longer cared for ladies' meetings. And I couldn't figure out what in the world is going on. Why? It's just like this. Well, the Lord showed me later that it was because a lot of women's meetings, and women's not going to like what I'm going to say, so I'm joining you. A lot of women's meetings are simply Jezebels wanting to impress other Jezebels. You don't need them. What you need to do is repent before God, submit to your husband, and get it out. You don't need to impress me with your demon or me, you with mine. And so I quit going, but I had one more meeting I was supposed to go to. And I got up that morning and I had a horrible headache. And I decided, well, I just won't go. But then I knew that the Lord had told me this particular little piece of scripture. He just wanted me to read it and sit down and shut my mouth. So I said, well, you know, I guess I ought to go. I should keep my word. So I started out and then it just hurt worse and worse. You know, you can get these headaches that when you move your head, it goes thump over here and thump over here and your eyes hurt every time your eyelids go up and down. And so I was sitting there thinking what I could do, and I said, well, you know, I've made my word. I said I would be there. And the Lord expects me to be a person of my word, although I have no interest in going anymore. So I was trying to get dressed, and every time my head moved, this thing was bumping around up there. And finally, all of a sudden, I thought of this. Now, you know the Holy Spirit is within you, isn't it? I think He many times gives us thoughts to help us. And the thought came to me, well, just take him with you. So I looked down there and I said, okay, if you're going to stay here and bother me like this, you're going with me. So I got in the car, turned on the King James Version of the Bible, and before I got three blocks, the headache was gone. That's one way you fight. Another thing that I used to do, I used to bind him. I'd say, oh, I bind you, you spirit of resentment in the name of Jesus. And he put his thought in there again. I say, I bind you, you spirit of resentment. Well, you are supposed to bind them, but then you're supposed to loose them. So I couldn't figure out, how am I going to loose this thing from me? And nobody could tell me anything. You got to remember, I was walking this out without anybody. Gene and I didn't even know it was demons that he cast out of me for 6 months. We had to find pigs in the parlor to discover those spirits were demons. I mean, you know, you can be really ignorant. We were really ignorant. So anyway, I was asking the Lord, how can I do this? How can I bind him? How can I loose? And I discovered that every time I named him, it's like he got bigger. So I said, okay, I'll do it this way. I'll bind him one time, and then I've got to do something else. So since I'd been using the King James Version of the Bible in the car, you know, I was thinking, well, I'll run out in the car and turn it on. But then it occurred to me, I can bind him. I would tell him, I take authority over you, you spirit of resentment, and I loose myself from you. And I didn't say anything else to him. And I got this Bible, this one right here, and I had it turned down where the story was about Jesus, his Last Supper, his death, and his resurrection. And it got to where I didn't even bind him anymore when they came. I'd say, oh, since y'all are here, look, I'm going to read this to you. And I'd go around my house, walking over the coffee tables, reading to the top of my lungs. I'd read it to them. They would go, but I'd keep reading. You see, it was helping me. It was blessing me. It was strengthening me. So I found out that I just take authority over them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say, I loose myself from you because of the blood in the name of Jesus Christ. And I immediately say, I have something to tell you. And I tell them out of this book. And that has been the best thing that worked for me. That's it.
Earlene and Irma, when they teach up here, they can feel, just keep on standing up, you need to stretch your legs. They can feel the resistance. Many times they can feel the resistance against what they're teaching, and it will tend to drive them backwards. Sometimes it's that strong. With men, I don't think we feel it that much as the women do. So Earlene takes off her glasses, she can't see all your frowns. I don't mind seeing your frowns. In fact, I get a kick out of them. Now, we're going to have some deliverance here on maintaining your deliverance from evil spirits. I have a list that goes along with a lesson that I had worked up. This is a different lesson. This is a new lesson that Earlene has just worked up. We'll get that fixed up when we go back home. It's not in the computer now. This is extremely important. See, we spend a lot of time casting out demons. We can't do this for you. We cannot maintain your deliverance. You have to do that. And that's the hardest part. Really, that what we early is teaching on is the hardest part of deliverance. After many years, it's easier for us to cast out demons. It's easier for us to counsel you and teach you with the help of the Lord. That's become just part of our nature after 13 to 14 years. But we cannot maintain your deliverance. You have to maintain your deliverance. You have to change your mind. You have to change the way you think. You've got to change the way you act. If you don't, the demons will come back. Okay. Praise God. Pray after me. Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ.
I agree with what Earlene taught.
I agree with what Earlene taught.
I agree with the Holy Word of God.
I agree with the Holy Word of God.
Lord, I want deliverance.
Lord, I want deliverance.
For the right reasons.
For the right reasons.
So that I might serve you.
So that I might serve you.
And do the things. That you would have me to do. I renounce all selfishness. So that I can do my thing.
I want to do your
thing,
Lord.
And I want to walk within your perfect will.
Help me, Lord Jesus.
To maintain my deliverance.
Show me how to do this.
As I seek your face.
I agree with you, Lord.
I agree with you, Lord. I will maintain my deliverance.
I will submit myself to you.
And I will seek your face. Now I thank you, Lord Jesus,
that you will help me to maintain my
deliverance
and to stay free
and to go on with you.
Now, Lord Jesus,
I forgive my ancestors
and my descendants
and anyone else
who has hurt me
or sinned against me.
I ask that you forgive them
and bless them
with all spiritual blessings.
Forgive me, Lord Jesus,
for my many sins.
I forgive myself
for sins against my body.
Now I break every curse.
Every hex.
Every demonic tie that binds.
I break every soul tie.
Brought about by witchcraft.
Or sexual impurity.
Lord Jesus.
Restore my fragmented mind.
Send your angels out.
To recover anything
that Satan has stolen from me.
Lord Jesus,
stir up the demons
within my subconscious mind.
Command them to manifest.
Identify and reveal themselves
as unto Jesus
so that they can be cast out.
And all these things I ask in the blessed name of Jesus Christ,
my Lord,
my Master,
and my Savior,
and I take authority over Satan
according to the whole Word of God,
which I accept
in simple childlike faith.
For it's in Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Okay, you may be seated. Okay, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come against the demons of rejection within us, and I command you to go in Jesus' name. I come out the family of rejection. Rejection, fear of rejection, self-rejection. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go right now. Loose them and set them free. Inability to give and receive love, prenatal rejection, conception in lust, Rejection by the mother, rejection by the father, rejection by the husband, rejection by the wife, rejection by brothers and sisters. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now come out of us. All this rejection, all hurts and deep hurts, come out right now. Hurts and deep hurts, I command you to go. I loose the love of God upon this people in Jesus' name against those demons. Now come out, rejection, in the name of Jesus Christ. All rejection, you have hurt us long enough. I come against those spirits of hurts and deep hurts, and I command those to go in Jesus' name. Now come out of us right now. All rejection, the whole family rejection, all your works, all your habits, all your nests, we command those to go in Jesus' name. Now loose us and set us free right now. All that rejection, all that deep-seated rejection, all those scars, I call those scars out in Jesus' name. Now come out of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we love ourselves, we love each other. God loves us. Lord, I pray by your Holy Spirit that you would show them that you love them, Father. Now come out, all this deep-seated hurts and rejection and so forth. The entrance for the demons, generally speaking. Come out. Come out, spirits of rejection. Your power is broken, and we drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ. Now be gone. Line up in rank and file and order and come out quickly. Now come against the family of bitterness, and I call you out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, all bitterness, resentment, hatred, and unforgiveness. I command you to go. We loose everyone who's hurt us. We have no unforgiveness. You have no right to us. Now come out. The spirits of unforgiveness, I command those to go in Jesus' name. Now be gone. Be gone right now, all spirits of unforgiveness. In the name of Jesus Christ, we command you to go, especially the spirit of unforgiveness. Come out of the people right now in Jesus' name. Now go. Spirits of unforgiveness, come out of them. That's right. Unforgiveness for those who hurt us. Unforgiveness for our loved ones. We command those to go in Jesus' name. Come out. We want all that unforgiveness to go in Jesus' name. Now come out. Every spirit of violence, temper, anger, retaliation, we command you to go in Jesus' name. The retaliation against those that have hurt us. Come out, the retaliation against those who have hurt us. You will go. You have no choice. You will come out of us in Jesus' name. We will not retaliate. Jesus said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Vengeance belongs to God. It doesn't belong to us. We loose those people that have hurt us in Jesus' name. We remit their sins away from them and from us in Jesus' name. Now be gone. Be gone, all vengeance, all retaliation and anger, all the anger that I've seen around in the camp this time, the spirits of anger. Many people have anger. I call that spirit of anger out in Jesus' name. Now come out. Come out, that anger, fury. That's right. Come out, spirits of anger and fear. Anger that and rage, spirits of rage that come in through alcoholic beverages. We call those spirits of rage out in Jesus' name. Come out, every spirit of murder, suicide, death, abortion, agreement with abortion. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All the killer spirits, I command you to go in Jesus' name. All the killer spirits. All spirits of abortion, agreement with abortion, death. I call out all death and fear of death. Come out of us in Jesus' name. And come out of the children too. Any demons that came into the children when their parents didn't want them and they wanted them dead, I call those out of the children in Jesus' name. Now come out of the children. When the parents didn't want them and they wanted them dead or wanted an abortion, come out. Any spirits of death wish, I call in any spirits of death wish, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Spirits of death wish, where we wished ourselves to die, I command those to go in Jesus' name. Now be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Loose my brothers and sisters and set them free in Jesus' name. Come out. The whole family of bitterness, we call you out. I call out that deep-seated bitterness that causes our faces to be screwed up with wrinkles and so forth. That deep-seated bitterness, a very strong bitterness. And I call you out in Jesus' name. Now come out. Come out. We bind your power and drive you out in Jesus' name. Now be gone right now. Loose us and set us free in Jesus' name. Now come out. The family of rebellion. I call out all rebellion. Rebellion out of the children against their parents. Come out. Spirits of rebellion. We command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out, every spirit of self-will, selfishness, self-idolatry, we command you to go in Jesus' name. That's right. Come out, all self-will, selfishness, and self-idolatry, we command you to go in Jesus' name. Now come out. Come out of the people right now. Your power is broken. We drive you out in Jesus' name. They have repented. You have no right to be there. They're not going to be rebellious against God. Come out, every spirit of stubbornness, lawlessness, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, stubbornness and lawlessness. We call you out in the name of Jesus Christ. Now go in the name of Jesus Christ. All stubbornness and all lawlessness. I command you to go. I bind your power And I drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ. Now be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. If you have your legs crossed, uncross your legs. If you have your arms like this, which is a sign of stubbornness and rebellion, uncross your arms. Now come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All these spirits of rebellion. If you're rebelling against deliverance, repent before God right now. Because if you don't want deliverance, you won't get any. Now come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Spirits of rebellion, self-will, selfishness, self-idolatries, disobedience, I command those to go in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of disobedience, I command those to go in Jesus' name. Come out right now, all these rebellious spirits. I come against the pride, ego, and vanity in men. I command those spirits of pride, ego, and vanity to come out of the men in Jesus' name. The women too, for that matter. Now be gone right now, spirits of pride, ego, and vanity. Come out of them in the name of Jesus Christ. Your power is broken. We drive you out in Jesus' name. Now be gone. That's right. Now come out right now. Every spirit of disobedience, come out. Spirits of disobedience. Spirits of anti-submissiveness, unwillingness of the wife to submit to the husband, unwillingness of the husband to submit to God. Now come out right now. Come out right now. That's right. Come out. Those demons that separate us from divine order. I call out the demons of Ahab and Jezebel. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of Ahab, spirits of Jezebel. Come out, the weak, effeminate man, destruction of the family priesthood. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out, all the weak men, the weak spirits of effeminacy. I call out the spirits of effeminacy. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, spirits of effeminacy in the men. Destruction of the family priesthood. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now come out, the spirits of Jezebel. I call out those Jezebelic spirits which can be in the men or the women. Come out, spirits of domination, manipulation, control. Jezebel is witch. Jezebels are witches. They're practicing witchcraft. Now come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Spirits of witchcraft, Jezebelic witchcraft. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Domination, manipulation, control, witchcraft. Come out of the women, especially right now, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out, spirits of charismatic witchcraft. I come against demons of charismatic witchcraft. Now call those out in Jesus' name. Where the leaders have practiced witchcraft on us by trying to control us. Come out, spirits of charismatic witchcraft. They come in through the leaders trying to control us. God gave us a free will. We have to give everybody else a free will. Now come out. Come out. I break the soul ties with pastors and Christian leaders who practice domination, manipulation, and control. I break those demonic soul ties. I drive those demons out in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out. Spirits of charismatic witchcraft, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Loose us and set us free. I drive out every demon of rejection, bitterness, and rebellion, and all related spirits and all works. I command those to go in Jesus' name. Now come out. Come out. Loose us and set us free in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Every spirit of pride, ego, and vanity. We command those demons of pride, ego, and vanity to go in Jesus' name. Now come out of us. I come against the demons that tell us that deliverance is not for real. The demons that fight against deliverance, I call you out in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against all those lies and lying and deceit and deception. Come out, come out right now, spirits of lies and lying, deceit and deception. Come out of the people right now in Jesus' name. Now be gone. Be gone. All these deceiving spirits, spirits of deceit and lies and lying and so forth, come out of us in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to go. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Now come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, every spirit of scornful, destroyer, fear, death, poverty, afflictions, trouble, confusion, terror, hate, diseases, distress, domination, broken heart, dismay, heaviness, mourning, infirmities, sicknesses, stealing, murder, doubt, condemnation, false gifts, imaginations, high things, unclean spirits, resentment, hatred, anger, rejection, self-pity, jealousy, depression, worry, and inferiority. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of the people right now in Jesus' name. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out, all these evil spirits, all your works, we command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out, every spirit of lying, cursing, blasphemy, criticism, mockery, railing, gossip, fantasy sex, masturbation, lust, perverseness, homosexuality, fornication, adultery, incest, provocativeness, harlotry, nicotine, alcohol, drugs, medicine, caffeine, addiction to food, Eastern religions, pagan religions, philosophies, mind sciences, yoga exercises, karate, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Rosicrucianism, Theosophy, Unity, and all bloodless religions. We command those to go in Jesus' name. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And I command all those demons to go in Jesus' name. Now come out. All demons listed in the Bible and listed on this page here, I command you to go. All demons, come out as your name is called and bring your family. I command you to go right now. You have absolutely no choice. You will go. You will loose us and set us free in the name of Jesus Christ. Now be gone. Be gone completely in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. I call out the doctrine of Balaam, fornication, doctrine of the Nicolaitans, Jezebelic, false prophetess, adultery, lukewarmness, wretchedness, miserableness, poorness, blindness, and nakedness. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All those demons in the seven churches that are listed in Revelations, I call those spirits out in the name of Jesus Christ that destroy our churches. Come out. The demons that hang around the churches, I command you to go in Jesus' name. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now come out. Come out. All this unforgiveness, we command you to go. Your power is broken, and we drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Every spirit of trickery, seduction, laziness, pretending, counterfeit, lying, uncleanliness, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All pretending to have spiritual gifts, come out. I call out all false demonic gifts, gifts from Satan. I call you out. All gifts from Satan, false tongues, false prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Come out. All these false gifts, all the nine false gifts that are supernatural gifts from Satan. I call those out. I especially call out false tongues in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All false tongues. I drive out spirits of chanting in the name of Jesus Christ. People that chant. I drive out those spirits of chanting. Now come out, spirits of chanting in the name of Jesus Christ. I drive out the spirits of religious shaking and quaking. Come out, the demons of religious shaking and quaking. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Just line up in rank and file in order and come out quickly. Come out, every spirit of palmistry, handwriting analysis, automatic handwriting, ESP, hypnosis, horoscopes, astrology, divination, false doctrine, deceiving, seducing, asceticism, vegetarianism, dishonesty, proudness, pornography, unforgiveness, yoke of bondage, serpents and scorpions, blindness, retaliation, striving, sinus trouble, migraine headaches, negative confessions, principalities. Come out. All demons that hover around us, either in us or out of us. I call out, I drive away all principalities, powers, world rulers of darkness, spiritual hosts of wickedness. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Now get away from this camp right now in the name of Jesus Christ. All the ruler demons. We call out every spirit of guilt, temptation, strongholds, imaginations, high things, evil thoughts, disobedience. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast in outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast in outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast in outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast in outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You hear that, demons? That's your fate. And it's not going to be very long. Now come out of the people in Jesus' name. Come out of every spirit of insecurity, mental torment, procrastination, indecision, compromise, rationalization, loss of memory, spiritual wickedness, false gospel. Come out all the false gifts. And all the, I call out all the false ministry gifts. Come out every false ministry gift and every false gift. I call you out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out all false ministry gifts that have been given to us by Satan. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out every spirit of sore bowl, self-will, deceiving, madness, wantonness, filthy dreamers, sensual, anger, and murder. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now come out right now, any demons of infirmities, weaknesses, sicknesses, and diseases. Come out right now, spirits of infirmities, weaknesses, sicknesses, and diseases. I call out all the demons listed in the Bible as diseases. I call those out in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out of the people right now. Come out, all these infirmities, weaknesses, sicknesses, and diseases. Come out of them right now. Loose them and set them free in Jesus' name. All demonic illnesses, I call you out in Jesus' name. I call out the spirit of cancer. Come out, spirit of cancer, tumors, growths, warts, malignant, non-malignant. Come out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Spirits of cancers, cancer that came in through bitterness, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now come out, spirits of cancer that came in through bitterness. Come out of them.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.